Welcome to the Life Rediscovered podcast, where we talk about life, faith, and everything in between. I'm your host, Ryan Reevely, and I'm so glad to have you on this journey, and I hope that you enjoy the ride. Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Life Rediscovered podcast, where we talk about life, faith, and everything in between. I'm your host, Ryan Reevely, and I'm happy to have you with me again today. So I hope you enjoyed last week's episode. It was an interview with Katrina Robertson, who wrote a book called Juror Number 11. And it was a really good conversation. I really enjoyed meeting her and hearing her story and you know, why it was just, all the experience that she went through and how it tested her faith and what she learned from that. So if you didn't get a chance to listen to that episode, make sure you go back and listen to that one. That's a good one. That's a good conversation. So I've enjoyed, meeting these new people online, and I'm really thankful that they take their time out of their busy schedules to come on the podcast, have a chat, And I'll try to have more guests this year, but I don't want to make it a weekly occurrence because I don't want a special guest to become routine or boring. You know, I don't want it to be like, oh, here's another one, you know. And so today's episode is just me, and I'm going to start a new series of episodes that are going to go through the book of Philippians, because we did that at our church a few weeks back, went through the book of Philippians. And I think there's some really powerful things in Paul's letter to the Philippian church. So today's episode, I want to talk about a cultural mantra that circles the bases in our society today, and that mantra being live life to the fullest. You've probably heard this in some form or fashion. We encourage people to live their lives how they want to, achieve your goals or set goals for yourself, first of all, and then achieve those goals and be successful. And, you know, I read this book recently called Never Enough, and it was a book about just the achievement culture that we've created. And it focused mostly on our kids and teenagers and even young adults who are really struggling with all kinds of things like anxiety and depression. And those things are on the rise with that generation. And it has to do with there's a lot of factors, but one of the factors is this achievement culture that we've created, where we are trying to, you know, as parents, as adults, we put our kids in all these activities and sports and even AP classes in school and things like that, so that they can get into the top schools, so that when they get into those top schools, do well, they get a degree from those top schools, and then they can get a high paying job. And it's all about achievement. And so that what happens is their identity becomes closely tied to what they achieve. And if they don't achieve the goals that are set for them, because again, some of these goals are not necessarily their goals, these goals that are set for them, if they don't achieve them or they fall short of them, then they don't feel like they have inherent worth, because they feel like a disappointment. And so that creates pressure, that creates this rise in anxiety and depression. And so and I think this mantra, live life to the fullest, you know, achieving your goals and dreams and hopes and be successful, it's part of that achievement culture that we've created. And if you do a Google search of how to live life to the fullest, you will get answers such as try new things, make a positive impact, keep your stress levels down. Like, good luck with that, right? Use wallpaper on your phone to remind yourself to live life to the fullest, like, you know, different wallpaper sayings. Try daily affirmations. And whenever I hear daily affirmations, I think of the old SNL sketch. I'm good enough. It was Stuart Smalley, right? I'm good enough. I'm smart enough. And doggone it, people like me. And so I think every time I hear daily affirmations, I just think of Stuart Smalley. You make new friends, set daily goals, focus on self-actualization, be optimistic, love yourself, listen to your gut. So, and that's just part of the list, because the list goes on and on and on, and it can be a little different depending on what website you visit and what you're really searching for. But most of these lists have one common theme: focus on you. And you know, there's occasionally here and there some parts of those lists that says, you know, serve others and help others. And I think these lists are a result of our self-centered society that we live in. And again, not completely self-centered, because we do have some of those aspects of helping others and being kind to each other. But I think for the most part, we tend to focus on ourselves. And you can go to any bookstore or search on Amazon, and you will have no problem finding a number of books that will teach you how to live life that you always wanted. And even if you go into the religion section, the Christian section, okay, so Christianity is centered around love God and love others. It's all about serving. Even Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to serve. And so he even told his disciples, if you want to be first, then be last. Let everyone go before you. Serve others. But if you go into the Christian sections, you'll find a lot of those books that are focused on you as a person, as just an individual, and not about serving, but what God can do for you. So it's the American dream. It's the American dream to live the life that you always wanted and live that life to the fullest. And that's what draws people to America, hoping for a better chance at a better life. But do we find fulfillment in that? And, you know, if you look at the Apostle Paul, because we're going to talk about Philippians a little bit, and he wrote Philippians, and he lived his life to the fullest, but not in the American sense of the phrase. So he wrote a letter to the church in Philippi about how to live life. But the center of their lives was not supposed to be reaching their goals and dreams. Rather, the center of their lives was supposed to be Jesus, since they had been changed by the gospel. And Paul lived in a culture that was, you know, self-centered. Every culture since the beginning of time has been self-centered in some way or another. And even Paul himself was self-centered before he met Jesus. But Paul wrote this in Philippians 1, 3 through 5. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. So Paul was thankful for the Philippians, not because of their great achievements. He didn't say, you know, you've done all these great things and your resume looks amazing. Your spiritual resume looks amazing. It wasn't about that. Instead, he was thankful for them because they had partnered with him in sharing the gospel. And here's what's interesting about Paul's words. He is writing them while under arrest in Rome for sharing the gospel. He is sitting in a Roman cell, prison cell, or at least chained to a Roman guard. And he caused quite a stir in his years of doing ministry throughout the ancient world because he challenged the way people looked at the gods and looked at life in general. And people didn't like how he was preaching about just one god and not many gods. He's preaching about a new king, not Caesar. And so people didn't like that. The Jews hated him because he was one of them, and they felt as though he had betrayed them and their faith, because they were the ones that got, they said, you know, this Jesus is not our Messiah. But yet Paul turned to Jesus and believed in him as the Messiah. The Gentiles didn't like him because he was preaching again against the gods of Rome and against Caesar himself. Paul always found himself between a rock and a hard place, yet he continued on and he ended up under arrest for doing so. So he was quite thankful when those he ministered to gave their lives to Christ and partnered with him in sharing the gospel. See, the Philippians were changed by Jesus, just like Paul was. And because of that change, they dedicated their lives to living out their newfound faith, thus spreading the gospel as new creations in Christ. So they left their self-centered ways. And I'm sure they had their moments of still self-centeredness. We all do. We all have our moments of selfishness. But their new lease on life, their new focus in life, their new perspective on life, centered around Jesus and serving him and serving others. And this is counterintuitive to our society today. It was counterintuitive to the Philippian society of their day. Our society tells us to live life to the fullest because it's the only life we get. So we should enjoy it while it lasts and be like well-known, be successful, be at the top of the mountain. Because the top of the mountain is where you're going to find satisfaction. That's when you know that you have arrived. But the problem with that is when life is over, what do we take with us? What do we leave behind? Because there's been plenty of people who've reached the top of the mountain of life. And those people have been just forgotten to history. Because they really didn't leave anything behind. They just reached the top of the mountain, that's it. Because that's where they wanted to be. And maybe when they reached the top of the mountain, they realized, this isn't all that it's cracked up to be. Because here's the thing about, if we're going to take this self-centered approach and live life to the fullest and all this stuff and get to the top of the mountain, guess what? You know the old phrase, it's lonely at the top? It's true. It's lonely at the top because you realize all the relationships that you've cut off because all you wanted to do was get to the top of the mountain. You wanted to be there, to reach all the goals you wanted to reach, no matter what sacrifices that you had to make. Now, I'm not advocating that we all become monks and live in a monastery somewhere. That's not it. I'd love to enjoy life as much as the next person does. We go on vacations all the time. And if you're listening to this episode, as of right now, if you're listening to this, my wife and I will be in, I believe, Rome, Italy. We'll be on our 20th anniversary vacation celebration. Our anniversary is in June, but we can't go anywhere in June because my wife's photography business is pretty busy at that time. And our youngest son is playing baseball. And baseball is very busy in June. And so we decided to go in April. And so we're in Italy as of you listening to this podcast right now. Love to go to the movies. Go to the movies all the time. Or I'd like to go all the time. Don't go as much as my oldest son. Cademan loves to go to the movies. He goes all the time. Love to go out to eat. Other fun activities that we like to do. We love to enjoy those things of life. And I think enjoying life is something that God wants us to do since he has given us this life to enjoy. However, on the other side of that coin, we can't let enjoying life or living it to the fullest distract us from living a fulfilled life. It's different. Living life to the fullest and living a fulfilled life are two different things. Because listen to what Paul says in Philippians 1, 12 through 13. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. You see, the Philippians were concerned about Paul being in prison in his circumstances. However, Paul was not. He's like, don't worry about me. He was saying he saw his circumstances as a means to spread the gospel. Paul's life was not defined by what he was missing out on, nor was it defined by how successful he was. His life was defined by the gospel and the gospel alone. He found fulfillment in knowing that the gospel was being spread where he was, as well as amongst the Philippian church, as well as amongst other churches that he started and other places that he visited. That's what his concern was. He didn't care that he was in a prison cell. I'm sure somewhere deep inside of him he did. But he was like, no, I'm here for a reason. I'm here for the sake of the gospel, and I can spread the gospel to this Roman guard I'm chained to. I can spread the gospel to other Roman guards I interacted with. He was hoping, his goal in life was to stand before Caesar and share with Caesar about Jesus. He didn't want to be where Caesar was. He didn't want to overthrow the Roman Empire. He just wanted to share about Jesus wherever he went. Here's the deal. We can live how we want to, and nothing is really going to stop us from doing that. That's really not the issue. The issue is this. Will you find fulfillment in that life? That's something you need to ask yourself. Like, you can say, I'm going to live however I want. I don't really care about all this stuff. But are you going to find fulfillment in that? Are you going to end each day thinking to yourself, that was a good day. That was a good fulfilling day. Felt like I accomplished things there. I lived with purpose today. So I think it's safe to say that if you live life however you want to and make your own choices and just don't care about all this stuff and focus on you, I think it's safe to say that you're not going to come to the end of each day or even come to the end of your life and think to yourself, well, that was a good life. I think you might think the opposite. Because living life to the fullest as the end goal of life here on this earth is a very self-centered, self-fulfilling lifestyle. And again, you might ask, what's the problem with that? Well, to live life how we want to, with numero uno at the center of it all, is like trying to fill up a cup with water that is a hole in the bottom. You might capture a little water, but that's only for a very short period of time. The cup will never be full. Think about that. It's never going to be full. Even if there's a small, tiny, little pinprick of a hole in the cup, it's still, that cup is never going to be full because the water is going to find its way out of the cup. So how do we fill the cup of our lives? Jesus said this to a Samaritan woman that he met at the well. I've done a podcast about this story before. But it's in John chapter 4, verses 13 through 14. It says, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Here's this woman who's come to this well by herself. And if you listen to this podcast about this, I explain all this. But if you didn't, here's the synopsis. This woman was coming to the well by herself in the middle of the day when it was the hottest. Now, most women in villages back then would go to the well in the mornings to get the water for the rest of the day that they would need and for the evening. Because in the mornings, it was cooler. It was less taxing to go in the morning. Well, this woman came by herself in the middle of the day. And the reason why is because she was an outcast to her society, to her town, to her village. No other woman wanted to be associated with her because she had been married 5 times and she was living with a guy who was not her husband. And so that was very taboo, very frowned upon. And so no one wanted to be associated with her. So she is coming to this well in the middle of the day when all the other women are done at the hottest to get the water she needs for the rest of the day for her and the guy she's living with. She kept trying to fill her cup with multiple holes in it, with all this water from the world, and the water just kept falling out, and the water didn't taste as good. And so Jesus is there, and Jesus says to her, like, here's what you need. You need living water. When you drink this living water, you're never going to be thirsty again. You're not going to go back to the wells of another guy. You're not going to go find another husband. You're not going to go searching for all these things you've been searching for in this life to fill you up, because this is what's going to fill you up. This is what's going to satisfy. Jesus also said in John 7, 37 through 38, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Jesus said this on the last day of the Feast of the Tabernacles, and it was a feast to thank God for the harvest. And part of the feast involved water to remind the Israelites that it is God who provided the rain for their crops desperately needed. And so Jesus stood up in the middle of this feast to tell all these people who are gathered for this festival, all these Jews who are there, and he says to them, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Because when you do so, out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. Like, think about this imagery, right? I was just talking about a cup. If you put your faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to fill you up, and rivers of water will flow out of your heart, meaning you've been trying to fill the cup known as your heart. The heart is who you are as a person, with all this stuff in the world, and it's just not satisfying. It's not filling you up. The cup is never full. But when you believe in Jesus, Jesus promises that out of your heart will flow, meaning it's not just full, it's overflowing with rivers of living water. And the psalmist says, in one of the psalms, it says, I will lift up the cup of salvation. And I'll call on the name of the Lord. The cup. What's the cup? It's like my cup is empty. I've been trying to save myself, and my cup just keeps coming up empty and dry. So I'm just going to lift up my cup. I'm going to lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. And guess what? Rivers of living water will flow. Fill that cup to overflowing. See, Jesus is the source of living water that we desperately need. He is the one who will always fully satisfy us. He is the one who will take our cup full of holes. And guess what? He's not going to patch the holes. He's going to give us a new cup. And then fill that cup with water that truly satisfies. Because in the scriptures that God talks about to the Israelites, he says, I'm going to take out their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Or I'm going to take that old cup of stone and give them a cup of flesh. We can keep trying to live our lives to the fullest, but is it ever going to be enough? So my encouragement to you is maybe give Jesus a try then. Because in my experience, he's always, always been enough. Well, thanks again for listening, everyone, to the Life Rediscovered podcast. I hope that you enjoyed this episode. Again, if you're enjoying this podcast, make sure that you share it, spread the word to others, leave reviews. Those are always super helpful. And hopefully you have a good rest of your week, and we will talk again next time. Thank you so much for listening to Life Rediscovered. Make sure that you subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss a new episode. Also, if you'd like to support this podcast, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/Ryan Reevely. I would love your support. And again, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.